Australian Bible Church, April 17th, 2011. Presbyterian Church, following the Bible, without qualification, just as it is. The Lord Jesus Christ, without compromise, just as he is. Through grace, by faith, today. Looking at 1 Peter and Philippians in the verses noted. Today, we're dealing with lateral relationships. You often hear of Christ as the head, then we're the body, and so we've been looking upwards to the head today. While we can never move from the head, we move with him. We look now at the body. How does it relate? How do you relate to other Christians? What are the sorts of ways that you should behave? Let's have a look at that today, using these scriptures and looking at lateral relationships. Put differently, I'm taking from these three scriptures a whole lot of pieces of divine wisdom and advice. It's like a whole surge of spring perfumes to meet you. We're not dwelling at any great length on any one. It's to look at this and that and the other, see them all as a movement through the botanic gardens, one after the other, to get the entire fragrance of them. So that you should be suffused with these things and inspired to look at these things with a rich energy to do them. First of all then, the positive program when it comes to relations with others. Under the headship of Christ as our inspiration and director. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:22-23. Those of you who have the notes have it there for you in blue at the bottom of page 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Well, just let your eyes rove on that scripture, 1 Peter 1, 22-23, here in blue. Consider being purified. I did my car out the other day. I must admit, when I decided I was really going to do a thorough job on it, I actually went through three different vacuuming periods. I was amazed how much was lying around. Crumbs and bits and pieces of stuff all over the place. So I burrowed into it and pulled up mats and went under the mats and went all over the place till there was hardly a thing left. And then the car, I thought, oh, doesn't this look just lovely? Splendid and clean and neat and serviceable. There's a parallel. We must be vacuumed and cleansed, every bit taken out, to a clean and ready for service, like a surgeon who's washed his hands and put on his coat and put on his mask. Purified your souls in obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. There is a form of obedience which is mental only. And there's a form of obedience which doesn't. Careless in its spirit. Oh, I'll do the thing. What is necessary is to obey the truth through the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit, with your eyes resting as the footballers tried to take, as the crows failed to do, I learned to my amazement last night, as the footballers tried to take the goal. So, as you're doing things, you don't just do them routinely. You obey the truth through the Spirit. You hear of team spirit? This is Christ's Spirit, ennobling you, charging you, enabling you. That being so, not just talking about it, if it's there, seek to do it. Love one another fervently. Old Smith, oh, he's a funny fellow, you know. I don't really like, he's really there, etc. We have to seek to see, as a mother might, what that fellow has that could perhaps be helped up, and so that his bad points might not be picked on, if possible, if by any means he might begin to grow in grace and to relax and to be more peaceable or whatever. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Well, that's Smith. He gives $10,000 a year to the church now. We're around him. No! As James says, it doesn't matter what their wealth is. Treat them equally. A pure heart, having been born again of incorruptible seed. The Word of God has introduced to our hearts the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of the cross, the resurrection, and that which is coming, our place, our meaning in life, what it's all about. Therefore, having been born again of the Word of God, which directs us to the opening, to the door, and having passed, there's doing it, through that door by faith, we are born again of incorruptible seed, even the Word of God. We turn to page 2. And we turn now to 1 Peter 3, 8 to 9. So if you're still on 1 Peter, just turn to chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9, and there they are for you again in blue. And it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you are called for this, that you may inherit blessing. Be of one mind. Well, I don't know that I agree with you on that, frankly. I think you're very, very much mistaken. Well, of course, I acknowledge, you might say, I acknowledge that that's my interpretation of that particular matter, but what do you think? Well, I think, oh, I see, yes. Try very hard to be of one mind. You may have to be different. Sometimes we're terribly wrong, like Balaam. Sometimes we have to stand out because it's the truth. But as far as it is possible, as far as lies in you, seek to be peaceable, seek to be of one mind. Speak as you must, as anyone in a team going through a jungle with mines must speak. Look out! Yeah, there are times when you must speak. But you know the difference, a spirit of peaceableness. You only do it if you have to. You do it because it's needed. Be of one mind, have compassion for each other, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, courteous, not engaging in tit-for-tat evil blows. You do that to me? If anyone touches me like that, they know it. They know it. You know the sort of talk? Nothing like that. No tit-for-tat. No evil blows. And if someone says, you know the trouble with you? You're just a weak, miserable worm ready to be crushed. You've got, etc. You know the sort of thing. That's reviling. Never, you say that. Let me tell you a few things about your biography. No. Just don't. Just put the brake on. There's a red light there. Don't respond. Blessing. I still remember when I was at seminary, I must have annoyed someone in some way. And he said, the Lord bless you, Rob. The Lord bless you. You know, if he'd had an axe in his hand, I'd hate to see what the blessing meant. But he was furious about something. It's not that. Everything is spiritual. Real blessing. Well, I'm sorry you said this, but I hope the Lord may bless you in some way. Why not? This is your call. Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Perhaps look at that in your Bible. Just turn to the sheet to see 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word of God, that you may grow. All malice, deceit, hypocrisy, evil. Just say to it, get lost. Don't say that to the person. Say that to these things. Keep your desire. Be like one of some of those suckling babes, voracious. I want it. I'm more, more, more. Really get after that milk of the Word. Study the Bible. If you glance, without losing your place, just to Hebrews chapter 5, which is just a little bit beforehand, Hebrews chapter 5, there we find in verses 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of the righteousness, for he's a babe. So, start off with milk, as every baby does. That means every newborn Christian. But after that, there'll come a time when you eat a little bit of food, a little bit of steak eventually, it's right. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Start with the milk of the word, the basic, simple, straightforward things. Then, as you've got that straight, get on to stronger, more difficult tasks until you understand, like someone growing up through the school system, until you understand more and more about it. Eat meat as well. Keep on eating, keep on working on the Word of God so that it may work on you. 1 Peter 2:20, we might just have a glance at. 1 Peter 2:20. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable. You make some mistake, you get disciplined. You don't make a mistake. You do something really good, and you still get disciplined. I'm a specialist in that. Well, what do? You take it patiently. If you've done something for Christ and you get smacked, fined, attacked, slandered, take it patiently. That is another red light. That's the response. Take it patiently. Just look at the bottom of page 2, the simplest way this time, and you'll see a number of things I've drawn just quickly from 1 Peter to go with that. 1 Peter 2:8 tells us to avoid walking with those who stumble. People who stumble, well, the whole thing is deep in their hearts. 1 Peter 3:15, give a reason for the faith to those who ask. 1 Peter 4:11, if you're going to preach, don't just say, oh, well, I think. The Word of God is sure. If you're presenting it, preach it as it ought to be, as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11, 12, if you're under great tests and fiery trials, endure it. 4:14, be willing to suffer reproach. If people say, you're just one of those stupid, blockheaded Christians, suffer it. Give an answer as is appropriate. Don't respond in the flesh. 4:17 gives a very important word. Judgment begins in the house of God. If you get wolves mixing with the lambs, which is stock procedure in many churches today, that is to say, people who are contrary to the Word of God, who nevertheless come into churches to enjoy their defiled selves and to disrupt churches, they have to be judged. The thing has to be dealt with. You have to get rid of people who are teaching false doctrine. You have to prevent immorality. But if judgment has to begin at the house of God, what will happen to those who aren't even in it? Is 1 Peter 4:17. Just lift up your eyes and you'll see what is happening all throughout the Middle East, all throughout China, all throughout India. There are things that are happening almost beyond belief. 2 Peter 2 tells us to watch out for false brethren. 2 Peter 3 tells us of the end of the world when in vast heat the entire universe will dissolve and go away, ready for a new heavens and earth. That brings us to our third point, which is in Philippians. And that, once again, it's there in blue in front of you on page 3. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Well, it may be easier to read in blue there, so if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Bowels, well, they use the term bowels to indicate tender feeling. We'd say tender hearted. They use the term bowel, but the meaning is tender mercies. You see in italics, the meaning is tender mercies, kindness, affection, and mercy. If these things are there, fulfill my joy, says Paul, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I have translated that differently, but I see it just isn't there at the moment. But the idea is that for one another, each one should be so active that altogether each thinks of others more highly than himself. Or the whole group has that attitude of thinking of others more than of themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now I've put that in the idea of a gauntlet. You know a gauntlet. Here you are, and as you've been seeing in some of these references to early army training lately in the papers, some senior officials decide to enjoy themselves and to do terrible things to more junior people in some institution, such as an army training one. And you might have to go through the gauntlet. There you are, and the whole people on both sides of you. And as you come through, he cracks you on the head, he trips you up, he pushes you, you go through the gauntlet, you have to go right through all this parade of people who are attacking you this way and that way unexpectedly until you finish it, and then you've run through the gauntlet. I want you to think of this in a positive sense. In this case, through the grace of God, we're going to think of all these people lined up on both sides of you, but instead of attacking you in a way to harm you, they're acting on you in a way to help you. They're a stimulus for good, not an attack for evil. So we've called it the gauntlet of grace. So, first of all, it says, now look, if there be any consolation in Christ, do you have some comfort? Do you have some encouragement? Is there anything there? Is there anything like that in your heart? If there's any comfort of love, is the love of God in your heart? Is this what you're thinking for? Is this what's in you? Is this the way you're looking at things? If there's anything like that, it says, if there's any fellowship with the Spirit, are you in tune with God? Are you like a branch in a tree? Are you having the sap of the Holy Spirit going out? Do you have leaves growing because of the power of God? If there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any love, comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, yes? If, in other words, you're a Christian, then what does he desire of you? Well, let's look down in the black there under the blue on page 3 and see the things which are desired. Firstly, if there's consolation, if there's fellowship, if there's tender kindness, then pursue like-mindedness. Seek to see what he's getting at. Try to see where you can agree, if possible. Being of the same love. They say, well, I love riches, I love golf, I love women, I love beer, I love me. That's different love. The same love, the same love of God. Of one accord, being of one mind. Have loneliness of mind. I don't think you know what you're talking about. I have studied this thing for several years. Let me tell you. I had the other day a plumber, and he said to me, did he tell you to use that acid? Oh, no. Listen, I've been a plumber for 35 years. I said, well, he's probably been a plumber for much the same period. But that's the attitude, you see. Loneliness of mind with hopeful esteeming of others. If perhaps, in some way, they've got something better than yourself, and that you might learn each from the other. Then put on a coat. As you're going through this gauntlet, put on a coat. And the coat says on the back of it, no selfish ambition. Some people are in the church, have an easy life. I always remember one pastor, he turned to an evangelist. He said, you know, I used to lie in bed, not get up till 9 o'clock. But everything changed. He suddenly realized what a slacker he had become. No selfish ambition. An Indian once said to me, oh, I've come here so I can be accepted as a citizen, then the Commonwealth can look after me. I nearly dropped. You come here to be looked after, and you're a young man. I would have thought you'd come here to adorn the place, to work, to enjoy the liberty, to have a marvelous time with all your talents to contribute. Then on your t-shirt, no conceit. Look at the clothes of other people. If you've got a gift, great. But do notice the gifts of others. Do try to work with them as in a team. Then another point. You say, yeah, I've done all that. But, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just me. Job was much less than just me. Think of Job for a minute. Job was wealthy, powerful, respectable, regarded with the highest opinion. The devil says to God, see that Job?
He's in it for what he can get out of it.
Love? Ha ha ha! He's using you, God. You push the stuff to him. Like a dog, he's happy with his steak. That was the tenor of it. God said, "Righto, you can take all the good stuff from him. See where it ends." Job had it all. He got disease. He got trouble. He had a terrible time. Because he had love. Love is like that. Love doesn't say, "Is it paying?" Love does says, "Is it working?" And so James says, we count those blessed who endure. In other words, with all this, don't make it an episode for this week or next. Blessed who endure. You admire, don't you? The mother, the woman, the doctor, who endures continually with the son, with the patient, and does not give up, continues the works with grace. A real champion of conscientious reliability. Be like that. When you go through the gauntlet of grace and instead of being hit by these things are just hit in the heart so that you profit and grow, you find this is a whole way of life. If everybody did this, it would be beautiful. It would be lovely and peaceable and delightful and encouraging. I remember we had a teacher when I was in Philadelphia studying for the ministry. He was an amazing teacher. There's something about the way he approached everything. He sort of draws things out of you. He'd relate, he'd stir and stimulate you. He was kindly, brotherly, thoughtful, helpful, and it seemed to make everything go with such strength and vigor. It works! This canon does work. It's pleasant and profitable, peaceful and pitiful. It harnesses a thrust of the truth into the fields of love. It maximizes reality. It stops needless contention, useless friction. It leaves more aeroplanes flying, no less crashes. Peter says we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18. You know what it's like with trees and bushes. If you've got a tree that just sits there and doesn't grow, there's something sadly wrong with it, and the same with anyone who's supposed to be a Christian. If you don't grow, how are you alive? Grow in grace and knowledge. We've been looking at lateral relationships today. We've been looking at you and fellow men. This should show growth. We've been looking at studying the Word of God. Your knowledge of the Bible should show growth. You should make sure that the main things are clear as crystal, and eating the meat, the hard things, grow in knowledge. This year you know more than last year, and more again and again and again. Grow in grace. Be a growing concern. Now, we turn back to 1 Peter. Christ also suffered once for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. There's the head. This that we're saying is beautiful but impossible without the body working with the head. Suffering the just for the unjust to bring the opportunity. There's the resurrection exemplar. Just think, not just to continue living, but to have, number one, myself, your own street address, your own resurrection body. But what if not? What if not? Well, the world is trying very hard. It's got the United Nations and NATO and the China, now with the China news, like the BBC News, they're showing all it wants to say about communism. And you've got the Islamic people constantly branding their ways and putting out their advertisements, such as the destruction of the world towers. That's their advertisement showing what they're about. You've got all these things going on without the head. The world is made by Christ and has cut off its head. If you were to look, don't bother to look it up, but if you were to look into Ezekiel, and the 21st chapter, and the 27th verse. It says, concerning the nations and concerning Israel, overthrown, overthrown, I will make it overthrown. Speaking of the nations and the kings and the efforts to govern people, God is saying, overthrown. I am going to overthrow this and that. Nothing is going to stand. You're not going to have stable government until he comes whose right it is. Until Christ governs this world, you will not have peace. Ever seen a chook with the head cut off when it continues to go around? Ugly, isn't it? This world is exactly the same. The head is cut off. Of course it's ridiculous. Of course there are wars. Of course there's destruction. Of course there's radiation. Of course there's bloodshed. Of course young people are being strangulated psychologically in their schools. Of course they're teaching foolishness. What would you expect when their heads cut off? And Christ is decapitated. That is the result. It shall be overthrown, says the Bible, until Christ comes back. Here's the truth, but also the life and the way. There isn't any other way. There is no other name given unto man under heaven but that of Christ. So if anyone beginning to follow another way, go back. No way. Get back on the highway of holiness. That's the way. Then the lateral relationships will come as the purring of a cat when it's sitting on your lap. Be where you belong. Be under the head. By his power, seek to do these things, not by your own. There is an entrance fee to get on this highway of holiness, but Christ has paid it. And by faith you get on freely. How glorious! You can be repentant and receive such grace as that. You can be lost, and a freeway opens like that. You're found and received and adopted as a child of God just like that, just because you repent and receive his offer, his ransom, and believe in him, and put your trust in him, and look forward to life with him, and not with this decapitated world. Amen. Our Father, we thank you that Christ is the head. We acknowledge that without the work of his Spirit, in terms of our being cleansed and washed, these things are quite impossible. But with him as head, with his Spirit in our hearts, these things, we can be raised into this new form of life. A life of grace and wisdom and understanding and learning and burning with zest and zeal and enthusiasm. A life of love, of kindness, of being pitiful, understanding, of being encouraging, of thinking of the things of others and seeking to make things work and grow. And while we do so, growing ourselves in grace and wisdom and knowledge and the knowledge of your word. And so, Lord, we praise you for all these things. And may it be that in these coming days we think of the grace of going through the blows, not of misfortune, but the blows of Christ stirring us, the gauntlets of grace. We should come out at the other end better, stirred and activated, not ruined as in the other sort of gauntlet. And so shall we give thee praise. Work in us this week, we pray, for Jesus' sake.